Hello everyone, my name is Penny and I am an alcoholic. Every week it's like somebody new here. That's great, I love that. I have to say that this is probably the easiest step for me to talk about. Only because my higher power is a really integral part of my recovery. I was thinking on my drive over, if there's at any time somebody wants, they're struggling with the spiritual concepts of this program, I am all ready to discuss, what that experience has been for me, either with a phone call or, coffee or whatever. So let's get into it, right? So step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. The Big Book tells us that the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And on page 85, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. I think there's a distinction between a seeker and seeking. By step 11, we are no longer a seeker, but seeking. The seeker may need to be fearless and let go of old ideas, let go absolutely. A seeker draws near to God and God reveals Himself. The recovering person should already have a relationship, so the seeking is to improve the conscious contact. In step 11, we are to continually seek God's presence, but why if He's always there? It is for us, not for God. God's presence can seem to be hidden behind a curtain because of our willful ways. For me, seeking means that I set my mind and heart on God and not so much on the things of this earth. Simple, right? And just so it's clear, my seeking is not because God is lost, but I might have to go through or around obstacles in order to find Him. And in the act of seeking, I may ask for God to open my eyes and ears, to soften my heart, and to reveal Himself. And to continue on page 85, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. I think I'm supposed to read. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could have been done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Never. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack into the stream of life? but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Well, when I figured I would do that, I read too much. And just so that we're clear, I'm right on schedule here, so that's always the tough part, you know. I've been listening to Helen's talk, I'm mindful of, like, she's looking for information from her source documents, and she's talking about it, and we're being recorded. So, anyways, the methods we are to use are prayer and meditation. Some of the other principles I use are humility, fasting, reading scripture, perseverance, and walking the path with others on the same spiritual journey. So pride is the opposite of humility, and if I'm not humble, I'm not teachable. I'm the one who is responsible to humble myself. It is not something that strikes me from the heavens. Fasting from food, TV, spending money, negative thoughts are also ways for me to draw closer to God. And dedication to regular prayer is crucial. There are breath prayers, gratitude prayers, praying with another person, praying during set times like morning and evening. And that's the part I read, when we retire at night. So I would just finish that up by, when we awake, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the reasons I pray. It lets God in, and if I'm doing that, then I'm not allowing God to run my life, if I'm not praying. And I'm not giving God an opportunity to speak into my life to show himself. Prayer is not about following rules, but about building a relationship with God. Prayer allows God to embrace me, care for me, and point me in the correct direction. When I receive these gifts, I in turn from that experience can give back to others. When faced with choosing between right and wrong, prayer can help me overcome my self-destructive ways, my character defects, and negative thoughts and actions. The Big Book says that when we are faced with indecision, we relax and we ask God for direction, for inspiration, or maybe even an intuitive thought or decision. And all of this, I have found, spurs a spiritual awakening. So what am I to expect from prayer? I have had times when his presence was very strong in my life, and then there were other times when I felt nothing at all. And I'm sharing this because I know we have varying degrees of recovery in here and probably varying degrees of spirituality. And I guess I hope that this share of mine is reassuring if you feel like you're really failing in this area, because I think that it can move forward and then it can move backwards. And so I'm hoping that you'll be encouraged after my share tonight. So when the latter takes place, and that means if I'm not feeling it for more than a couple days, and sometimes those days span into weeks and weeks into months, you know, I just show up. This used to really unnerve me, and it caused me to question even if God existed. I call these dry times desert experience, and I have found that many times when I get through them, I have a mountaintop moment. These desert experiences build my character and faith. They deepen my trust, revealing to me that I can get through the tough times and that God was there all along, even though I didn't feel it. I've come to learn that God knew I could get through the experience, and it was I who needed to know this. It can also prioritize and define what is most important moving forward, weeding out those areas that don't deserve so much of my attention. The other thing we can expect from prayer is that it reveals how God is working in our lives, especially if I write my prayers down and revisit them later to see how my requests have worked out. So how do we know God is answering our prayer? And I'm sure you've all heard that God has three answers: yes, no, and wait. So yes, God will answer our prayers if it is His will, and that's kind of, you know, talked about in the big book. But guess what? We don't always like His answer of yes, do we? But what helps me through that, what has helped me through that, is the fact that God's wisdom far exceeds mine. A no answer can be an opportunity to work a tenth step if I'm struggling with accepting this answer. No means that I need to accept that God really does know what is best for me. God sees the big picture, and I need to trust that. I need to trust that God will with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. Wait is the worst. I just realized not too long ago that the waiting should be the busiest time. It doesn't mean I kick up my feet and lean back. Instead, this is when I do the next right thing. I need to exercise patience. I must trust that God really wants what is best for me. I examine myself to see if there are any areas that I need that need correction. It's where I ask myself, Penny, go back to where you told God no. If there is an area that I refuse to relinquish my will, then I have to realize that I'm not ready for the prayer to be answered. This can be especially difficult when we are praying for the well-being of another person. But again, it's God's timing in that person's life and not mine. It also shows me how willing I am to persevere in constant prayer of others. 1 week, 6 months, a year, a decade. I mean, how much do I want this prayer to be answered for someone if I don't put some effort into it? I wonder how many years my mom and my sister were praying for me until I landed into the rooms of AA. The book says that alcoholics are undisciplined. Prayer is one way to stay the course. I know in sponsorship, a lot of times I'm asked how to pray. You know, some people really don't have an idea, or they grew up in a religion maybe that had very rote prayers. So I suggest they pick a time and a place. Even though we can pray anytime or anywhere, I know for me, if I don't have a set time and place, it leads to no praying. There is spontaneous praying when the feeling arises in my heart and I'm reminded of God's presence, like when I'm in line for groceries or during a break at work, before a difficult task, or just hearing the birds. But picking a consistent time and place where I can be alone is where I go deeper. So the other part of step 11 is meditation. So to meditate means to focus our mind for a period of time to think deeply or carefully about something. And actually, worry is a form of meditation when you think about it. I know many of my sponsees struggle in this area. Some think that it's just a time to sit and clear their minds, which is a great exercise to bring about peace in mind and body. I think also just sitting for a designated period of time is helpful initially, especially if you're new to this meditation. So start out small, like 5 minutes, and set a timer, and then gradually increase this time. And if nothing happens, nothing happens. But setting aside the time builds a habit of showing up. But for me, the goal is to hear God and be with him. Reading something spiritual is really helpful. By reading a sentence at a time, then pausing, we can relax our mind and hear God, if you will. We have a big book of 12-step prayers to use as a guide. I didn't even know that book existed until it was handed to me last week. And if you don't have a meditation book, then one example is the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that a lot of meetings use or end their meetings with. And I thought I would just kind of share how that unfolds for me, how to meditate on a spiritual reading in the morning. So our Father, you know, I would say our Father, and then I would think, is an acknowledgement of a higher power, a creator of the universe. This puts me in a place of humility. Who art in heaven, God who fills the heavens and the earth and knows all about me from the beginning of time ever to everlasting. Hallowed be thy name. Might I know that you deserve my affection and that I honor you with my words and actions. Thy kingdom come. May God's will reign on earth and fill it with peace, joy, and happiness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we all come to the place where we are willing to do your will with grace and love. Give us this day our daily bread. Might I recognize all the blessings you give and not worry about tomorrow. Might I appreciate the many hands that make my life easy, from the food that I eat to the garbage man showing up every Wednesday. Oh, I'm never bummed out about paying my garbage bill. I think about all the garbage that I create and somebody takes it away. I'm so grateful. The snowplow, when they come through, electricity, heat, all of those things are to me my daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. May I remember the forgiveness extended to me from my family and friends. May I never forget the freedom forgiveness gives to me. And when I forgive others, they too will appreciate this freedom. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When I'm tempted to drink or act out, help me overcome by giving me the strength to choose your will. Show me the right way to escape by placing in my mind a person to reach out to. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. God, you deserve to be praised because of your sovereignty, your power, and the glory so easily seen in your creation. So, and then we usually end with amen, which I don't know if you know, but amen means so be it. So that there, you know, didn't take that, I don't know how long it took, but it doesn't take that long to be in a meditative state for me anyways. When I break down, sometimes it's a word I focus on, and it just kind of helps me stay focused because I have monkey mind and I jump all over the place, and I think most people do. So this is a way that I know that I'm meditating in the proper way, as opposed to making grocery lists and thinking about what I need to do at work or all of that craziness. So in case you're curious, I don't know if you are or not, and probably will be one of the questions that Kevin would like to ask. So what does my morning hour look like? So I do try to carve out an hour during the work week. And it consists of spiritual readings, prayer and meditations, and sometimes an in-depth study and journaling. So it's not consistent every day. I've come to recognize that my prayer life has really gotten a little bit laxed. I do, you know, I love to learn. I'd rather be studying. I'd rather be feeding myself all of this information. But, you know, what good is it if I'm not sharing it with another person? And sometimes that can happen when I'm in a study mode instead of a prayer mode. Prayer mode puts me in a position of thinking of others and not thinking about myself. So even though studying is a good thing, I find that if it goes nowhere, it's not serving anyone. It's just making my, I don't want to say making my head big, but it, I like to learn because I feel very inadequate in my intelligence and in my, and there's a fear there, I guess, like, ooh, well, if somebody asks me a question, I don't know the answer. So I feel like I always need to be a step ahead a lot of times. So it's just kind of, I guess that's a little bit too personal. That's too personal, but there you go. So there is a prayer, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You know, I'm just starting to figure out that, you know, there was a tendency of mine that I didn't really want to tell God what was, I didn't want to tell God that I didn't like something. Like, how can you be so ungrateful? How can you be mad? Well, like, he doesn't know already. So, like, just tell him. Just be angry with God. I mean, God can take it, right? And so, instead of me blabbing to a whole bunch of people, just get ticked off at God and get it out of my system, you know. I've yet to do that, but it's like, the next time it happens, I'm just going to yell at God about it, you know. And so, I'm continually learning about who my higher power is through this morning prayer and meditation. You know, the other thing that I have discovered is that, you know, I've been encouraged to rest and be content in the ways of God. And I have found that the rewards of step 11 have given me life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, my wildest dreams when I got sober, while I was still drinking, especially in high school, was that I would get out of high school, college was out. I had no intention of going to college because I wanted to work and drink. That's what I wanted. And you know what? I was very successful. I got out of college out of high school. Within 6 months, I had moved out and I was earning money and I was drinking. That was my wildest dream. And then I come into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, I would say I didn't have any dreams. And I was able to be afforded the opportunity to think about a future without alcohol and not be filled with dread about that. The other thing a lot of people talk about, I get probably more questions than anything else, is about what is God's will for me. Well, that's super simple for me most times. You know, from everything that I was sharing, you know, God's will for me, if at the very, very basic level, I can look at, is it right or is it wrong? Not like, should I buy the blue car or the gray car? You know, this is like, we know good from bad. Right, we know when we should not hurt somebody. We know we shouldn't steal. We know this and that and the other thing. So, those knock it off right away. The easy ones. I thought I'd share a story. I think I'd mentioned, I don't even know which talk, about having a health issue. I had cancer when I was a year after my daughter was born, so that was in 1992. But the story about how God's will worked in my life, and I look at this as God's will in my life, was that 2 years prior to that, I was 30 years old, and Eric and I decided that children were not a good idea because we got married young. And so I was cool with that because kids interfere with their drinking, right? And so we never wanted children. We're married 10 years. And I was 30 years old, or 29 actually. And I was in a grocery store. Imagine that. I was in a grocery store. It was Giant Eagle back in those days. And I'm getting ready to check out, and I saw a baby in a shopping cart, you know, with its mom. And it was like, I saw that baby and I wanted one. It was like my biological clock exploded in the aisle there, you know? Clean up in aisle 9. And it was like so weird because I really had no thoughts about starting the family. And then the next thought is like, oh, how am I going to get Eric on board with this, right? But literally, I went home and I just felt this overwhelming, like, let's start a family. And so, you know, I went home and you can, if those of you that know Eric, he says, well, I thought we decided we were not going to have a family. I go, but yeah, let's go out. There was an Italian restaurant that was close to us at that time. I go, let's go out to dinner because you know the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? So I thought maybe, and I was right, that I could convince him that what we need to do is start a family. So he agreed, and I found out many years later it was grudgingly. So up to this time, we had never really been trying to not have children. So I assumed that our previous lifestyle, we were very, very heavy into partying, was going to be a deterrent and my age and all of this. And so that year, we were celebrating 10 years of marriage. And so we decided that we're going to go to an AA conference on the West Coast in California, and we're going to combine that with our anniversary. And this whole baby thought had happened a month before. So we're getting ready to leave for our trip, and I just, you know, I'm like crying. It's like, oh, we're never going to get pregnant. All of this craziness, you know. I don't know why this happened so quickly at that time. So we go to the conference. We have a great time. We come home. And on the plane, I was drinking coffee, and it tasted weird. Like, whoa, what is that? I knew I was pregnant on the way home on that plane. So, I mean, we literally buzzed in the Kmart, and we got the EPT, and we ran home, and I was pregnant. 1 month of trying, I was pregnant, you know? So, you know, we have Brianna, fast forward, and it was, you know, after we had the one baby, we decided, well, this is really hard work. And, wow, we don't want that to happen again, right? So it was January. It was so cold outside, I remember. But I, because of our insurances, I was the one that decided to go and make sure that we didn't have any more babies. So I went in to get my tubes tied. And that was when they discovered that I had ovarian cancer, and it was almost stage 3 ovarian cancer. If my desire and my, like, what was that besides God's will? How did that all, I mean, looking back on it, it's like, that saved my life, you know? And so experiences like that teach me that cancer, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, right? I mean, my hair fell out. I was so, so sick for 9 months from the treatments. And I got through all of that, and I learned so many. I'm so grateful for that experience because it really helped me realize that anything that comes after that, these tough things that happen to us in recovery, that I just need to pray and meditate and just realize that I have a good God. I'm here today. You know, I was able to raise that daughter, and she's going off to get her master's degree, and I've encountered so many people in the last 20 plus years since that. So, you know, I'm hopeful that is comforting to you to know that we have a good God. And the other thing I like to say is the closer I get to God, you know, this thing about is it God's will for us, you know, the more time I spend in prayer and meditation, I believe that God places his desires in my heart. that I will want what he wants for me, and I will want to extend that. So it just gets easier to know what God's will is for me. You know, I'd shared about that incident where I said something to Eric and it really hurt his feelings. You know, there was a time when that would have just went over my head. But today, when I hurt another person, God's desire for me, his will, is that I not hurt other people. I wouldn't know that if I had not invested the time into what I call my quiet time in order for God to reveal that that's not the path you go down anymore, Penny. That this is the path I have chosen for you. So I can't do it on my own in any way. I constantly need the support of other people. I mentioned, you know, one of the ways that one of the tools I use is walking this path with people that are like-minded, and so I find that in the rooms of AA. You know, we are on a spiritual quest together, and I need that. I need to be reminded. I am so quick when I'm talking to other people about the spiritual solution, but when it comes to me applying that to myself, I don't talk well to myself. So when I reach out to others, so, you know, friends, sponsor will say, well, did you pray about it? Did you journal about it? Did you meditate? No. that answer doesn't come to me. No, I want to work it out on my own. Sorry I got done kind of early there. And that's the end of step 11 for me. You're not ready for me, I'm sorry.
Now we get to do questions and answers. Has anybody got any questions? Please don't make me go to Kevin. Oh, thank goodness. There is a God, he loves me.
Marion, alcoholic.
Hi, Marion.
Penny, when you're sponsoring people, do you find that sometimes there's confusion between, you know, in the big book it says we review at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I have even heard people say there's confusion between that and step 10. Mm-hmm. Where I've always interpreted step 10 is, you know, it's a now thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make, you know, see it, call it, mm-hmm. make the amends.
Exactly.
But do you find that does seem to be there does seem to be confusion about that?
I'm not confused by you know, because I'm like you, when the 10th step is looming in my future, I like to deal with it at that moment. And I know that the big book says that it's a time at the end of the day. I do find, though, in my evening prayers, if they happen, that the day kind of seeps in, and I guess I encourage my sponsees to do that morning and night, to set a time, and I just find that it's very easy. Instead of turning on the TV, I've learned that reading something that's on a spiritual line does something wonderful to my evening, and that it gives me a lot of peaceful sleep. I mean, actually, I can prove it because I have a Fitbit, and I did it last night because I've been trying to get off the nighttime television. And what do I like to watch? You're gonna what? No, well, it's junk. It's terrible. My husband cannot believe. I love anything about people getting murdered. So the evil within, investigative discoveries, forensic files. I mean, what a thing to fill my mind up with before I go to sleep. Good thing I don't remember my dreams, right? So that's probably why my Fitbit tells me how much I'm awake. And last night I was just curious. I purposefully read something spiritual, and I can only read for 10 minutes. I get so darn tired. And I laid my head on the pillow, and I'm thinking, I'm praying for people. I'm thinking about how good God is to me. I jump up in the morning. I had a good half an hour of deep sleep extra than what I normally have. I mean, that to me just says so much about how prayer can heal my body and my mind, and is healthy for me. So I'm going to try that again tonight. I think forcing myself to have a moment of review at the end of the day is so beneficial. And I've not been very strong in that area. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Every tape, there's a Kevin.
Thank you.
You always have good questions.
Yeah. So anyway, you were talking about something, I don't know if I was just glossed over or something. You talked about fasting, and you mentioned, you know, fasting was food, but you also mentioned TV and money. Mm-hmm. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, the money thing is, you know, even if it's $5, you know, I guess I'm realizing there's a whole lot of crap I don't need. I'm trying to get rid of stuff in my house, you know. And it is a way that I transfer a feeling of whatever. I'm lonely, I'm tired, I'm trying to avoid the food, I'm trying to avoid the TV. Oh, let's go out and buy a $5 item, right? So all of that speaks to me that I have a spiritual hunger, that hole within. And so abstaining from that type of spending it forces me to sit in the poopy diaper, as I like to call it, because it's uncomfortable and I don't like it, and I can sit in the poopy diaper as long as I want, or I can change it. And changing it means I need to implement the tools that I, you know, had mentioned.
Okay, so that's what that was, money. What about TV?
Well, TV, as I had mentioned, that has become, what a waste of time. You know, they're really, and my friend Gina there, you know, she's embarking upon that. But I think about, and not that I watch a ton of television, but I watch enough, I think about what could I do that would be helpful to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, to a friend, to my husband, to my family, if I eliminated, you know, if I watch an hour a day, and on the weekend maybe 2 hours a day, you know, that's what, 10 hours a week that I'm, do I even remember? I don't remember how many people were murdered, you know, and I would say things like, well, it's so cool how they figure out, I'm thinking, why would anybody do anything, because they're going to find out how you did it, you know, but it's like, why do I derive pleasure from somebody else's horrific experience, you know, it doesn't match up for me why I enjoy wasting my time when I am always so protective of my time. And how does God want to speak into my life? I'm refusing. Like, no, it's forensic files, you know. And, you know, even Eric will say, well, how many times have you seen that one? You know, like after a while they start repeating themselves, you know. And I have Sirius XM radio. Yeah. And so there's HLN, which right. is where, yeah, I can start listening to forensic files before I get home from work. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is almost like an addiction. So I've just become aware of this. And so fasting from TV is a way for me to just examine, you know, how is this adding value to my life or to others? And it's not.
You don't think it helps you decompress from your day and get out of your... I mean, I don't see you as a person, you know, like Jack the Ripper, you know, sneaking around and doing stuff, but stuff that is completely opposite of your normal dynamic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be just...
And some of it is, granted, you know, watching a movie with my husband or without, you know, something that is a little bit more light. I don't see anything wrong with that or enjoying that with friends, but it is a way to I think God is calling me to spend more time with him, and it's like that's effort, right? So if it's not the first hour in the morning, it ain't going to happen, more likely. So I think God is speaking to me, hey, it's hour 15, I'm still here, and you're watching Forensic Files, you know? We have a really close relationship,
I do too. I have the same kind of thing. I think it's terrific. And I think it's nice to be able to explain that process to everybody. Like the 11th step talks about prayer and meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, you're over 30 years sober, and what's the difference between, you know, like how your own prayers evolved into mm-hmm. today's mm-hmm. awareness of TV mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the same thing with meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation used to be, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm done mm-hmm. again. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm done again.
Yep.
To where you are today, and maybe kind of explain the not only the process, but the dynamics of the mm-hmm. up and down. And
yeah, I mean, when I think I was no different than most people that, you know, land in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, my prayers, you know, were taught, if you don't have a prayer life, you know, help me and thank you. You know, help me in the morning and thank you at the end of the day. And as I started seeing God reveal himself to me, and as I sought, I was, you know, seeking. And I think when we seek with an honest heart, God is aware of that, and he answers. He points us in the right direction. You know, are my motives pure? Am I doing this to check it off my list so that when my sponsor asks, hey, how's your quiet time? You know, I can say, oh yeah, I put my 10 minutes in, but what did I do during that 10 minutes? You know, was it really just something to get somebody off my back, or was I doing it because I earnestly was seeking to have God, you know, run my life? And so early on, it was a few minutes. And then over time, you know, as it evolved, I started finding the value in it, and I started feeling the change in me. And that, I think, you know, I talk all the time about, you know, what is your experience? I've had a couple women that I've sponsored. I mean, Eric and I have been together forever, and I've never been in a situation where I was dating. And, you know, I don't understand what it's like to be lonely, you know, and they just want the, you know, a male companion. They want to go out to dinner. They want to have a good time, all of this. And I said, I don't have that experience. You're going to have to find somebody else to relate to. So as my experiences in discovering who my higher power is and was and is, those experiences spurred me on to want to find out more. Who is this God, you know? And how can we... Nobody can tell you, well, your experience is all wrong. I mean, really. And so that's why I feel so convicted and so committed to step 11. And to my, I was so happy when I got here and it was a spiritual solution, because that's exactly what I was seeking. And so, yeah, that it all kind of builds on itself, for sure.
Hi, Penny. Thanks mm-hmm. for sharing about the miracle of birth mm-hmm. and the miracle that mm-hmm. saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite touching to me. The question that I have is, in 12 and 12, it has the 11th step prayer there, Frank's prayer, St. Francis' prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very, to myself, if I repeat it
mm.
slowly, two, three, slowly, four times,
yeah.
it helps me to... Mm-hmm. to get in the zone I need to for prayer and meditation. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering what your opinion is on that.
Yeah, I think slow is very key. I think that sometimes we can get... I've never been a person that has repetitive prayers. I feel kind of bad about that. You know, we have a whole book of AA prayers. I didn't even know it existed. Because I think... like the Lord's Prayer is something that, you know, I'm slow to memorize. And so memorizing that prayer and breaking it down, I think, is the key to anything that we wish to repeat over and over. And each time you do it can be a different experience because we're in a different place. So I think it's very helpful to have a set prayer, a set rote way of... I look at it more as meditation, not prayer, when I do it very slow and break it down. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm always marvel at people that can, that have things memorized. I don't. You keep reading it. Yeah, that's me. One thing I've memorized is the 12 steps that I'm pretty safe with.
Good job.
All right.